ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। As yesterday, I won't chant the text with repetition, as it is in prose. Today is Canto 5, Chapter 8, Text 26, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So here's the text. It's quite a long one. Evam aghatamana manoratha kula hridayo mrigadaraka bhasena swarabdha karmana yogaram bhannato vibhrangshita sa yoga tapaso bhagavad aradhana lakshanachcha katam itaratha jatyantara ena kunaka asanga saksha nisrayasa pratipakshataya prak parityakta duschaja hridayabhijatasya tasyaiva mantaraya vihata yoga rambhanasya rajarshaya bharatasya tavan mrigar bhaka poshana palana prinana lalananu sangena vigannayata atmanam ahirivakuba ivakubhilang duratikrama kala karala rabhasa apadyata. Hare Krishna. And the English translation of all of that, Hare Krishna, is as follows. Shukdev Goswami continued, "My dear king, in this way, Bharat Maharaj was overwhelmed by an uncontrollable desire which was manifest in the form of a deer. Due to the fruitive results of his past deeds, he fell down from mystic yoga, austerity and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it were not due to his past fruitive activity, how could he have been attracted to the deer after giving up the association of his own son and family, considering them stumbling blocks on the path of spiritual life? How could he show such uncontrollable affection for a deer? This was definitely due to his past karma. The king was so engrossed in petting and maintaining the deer that he fell down from his spiritual activities. In due course of time, insurmountable death, which is compared to a venomous snake that enters the hole created by a mouse, situated itself before him." Purport. As it will be seen in later verses, Bharat Maharaj at the time of death would be forced to accept the body of a deer due to his attraction for the deer. In this regard, a question may be raised. How can a devotee be affected by his past misconduct and vicious activities? In Brahma Sanghita, it is said, "Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam." For those engaged in devotional service, bhakti bhajam, the results of past deeds are indemnified. What does the word indemnify mean? It seems to be invalidated or cancelled. You want to look it up? Do you know what it means, indemnified? I kind of know what it means, but not exactly. Sounds like a legal term.
Compensate.
Compensate.
For harm or loss.
For harm or loss. Okay. According to this, Bharat Maharaj could not be punished for his past misdeeds. The conclusion must be that Maharaj Bharat purposely became over-addicted to the deer and neglected his spiritual advancement. To immediately rectify his mistake, for a short time, he was awarded the body of a deer. This was just to increase his desire for mature devotional service. Although Bharat Maharaj was awarded the body of an animal, he did not forget what had previously happened due to his purposeful mistake. He was very anxious to get out of his deer body, and this indicates that his affection for devotional service was intensified, so much so that he was quickly to attain perfection in a Brahmana body in the next life. It is with this conviction that we declare in our Back to Godhead magazine that devotees like the Goswamis living in Vrindavan who purposely commit some sinful activities are born in the bodies of dogs, monkeys, and tortoises in that holy land. Thus they take on these lower life forms for a short while, and after they give up those animal bodies, they are again promoted to the spiritual world. Such punishment is only for a short period, and it is not due to past karma. It may appear to be due to past karma, but it is offered to rectify the devotee and bring him to pure devotional service. As in quite a few of Srila Prabhupada's purports, he addresses what at the time of his translating the Bhagavatam was a topical issue, current affairs. In this one, we see Srila Prabhupada is writing about, in Back to Godhead magazine, it's written that devotees who live in Vrindavan sinfully will have to take birth as dogs, hogs. That's not mentioned here in the purport, but I believe in the Back to Godhead magazine it was mentioned. Dogs, hogs, monkeys, and tortoises. Or more, tortoises we don't see hardly in Vrindavan, but turtles. Maybe in American it's the same thing. In tortoise, in English, is a land creature, and a turtle is a aquatic. There are plenty of turtles. They used to eat the dead bodies in the Yamuna, among other things, but nowadays it's not allowed to throw dead bodies in the Yamuna. Does it still go on? Probably not much. One way to make a dead body in the Yamuna is take a Yamuna bath. So it's not really Yamuna water there anymore. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada actually said that the government is deliberately making factories to pollute the water of the Yamuna so people won't take bath there. He was speaking, the government is so demoniac. Anyway, the topical point here is that it had come out in a Back to Godhead magazine that Srila Prabhupada had said that persons who lived sinfully in Vrindavan, and he specifically mentioned the Goswamis. Now we're not talking about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan because they didn't live sinfully, but the family proprietors of temples whose surname is generally Goswami. Maybe some others also, but generally they're known as Goswami, and they're in their passport or Aadhaar card or whatever, the name will be given Goswami. And they're known as the Goswami caste of Vrindavan. They're all over North India. There must be Goswamis, plenty of them here in Baroda also. Probably the Vallabh Sampradaya. Or they're Bhattas. Anyway. So Prabhupada had said they take birth as hogs and dogs and monkeys and tortoises in Vrindavan. And somehow a copy of that Back to Godhead magazine got in the hands of one of them who did not receive it very favorably. And the word went around as news goes around quickly in the Goswami community or any community in Vrindavan. Even nowadays it'd be more quick by WhatsApp, but in those days it was by word of mouth. And there was some reaction. Already most of the residents, or many of the residents of Vrindavan at that time, were not very favorable to our movement. And especially the Goswamis became very upset because they're considered to be the one class of religious leader there in Vrindavan, being the pujaris in the temples. Of course, there are sannyasis also, and another kind of religious leader. At that time, there was that Akhandanand Swami was the Mayavadi. So they were very upset by that. So Srila Prabhupada's explaining this in this purport, that it's just a short thing to rectify, and he gives it in the context of Bharat Maharaj, who was a great devotee who went back to Godhead, but there was a little slip on the way. Now, just to give a mundane example, if someone runs a race, they run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Now, if they happen to slip a little bit on the way, but still they do a mile in 4 minutes, then the slip doesn't matter. It may be recorded as a historical fact, but it doesn't matter. They did something glorious. So in the same way, it really doesn't matter. Bharat Maharaj became a deer, then he became Jara Bharat, which means dull Bharat. He appeared to be very dull, but actually he was completely effulgent in pure love of God. Even though outside he appeared to be dull, dull-headed, dirty, but actually he was a great devotee. The example is given also of Kardama Muni, after performing austerities, that when Swayambhuva Manu came with his wife, whose name is, quiz for the Gurukul kids. Yeah, say it. The wife of Swayambhuva Manu is 100 forms. It's a clue. Shatarupa. And his daughter, Devahuti, they saw Kardama Muni, who for performing austerities for so many years looked a little dirty and bedraggled, but at the same time he had some effulgence. So the example is given, he looked like an unpolished gem. So Jara Bharat, he made that his last life and he went back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada even gave the name of one of his disciples, Jara Bharat. You might think, well, that's a straight, dull Bharat Das, or mundane Bharat Das. So normally if you say Jara, that means very dull or stupid or simply mundane, but in this case it was just a show, and he went back to Godhead. But it's instructional for us also to be careful not to fall down. Here the reason is given that Bharat Maharaj, even though he was practically on the level of completely pure devotional service, still he fell down. And the reason is given in the purport that because, let's have a look exactly. It's in the original Sanskrit also, because of, try and find it in all of this, his previous activities, there was still some desire in a very root form, seed form within his heart. And then when he came in contact with that deer in that situation, it provided a situation or a platform where those desires developed to such an extent that in a short time he forgot his pure devotional service. Now, in the translation of the text, it stated Bharat Maharaj was overwhelmed by an uncontrollable desire which was manifest in the form of a deer. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that Maharaj Bharat purposefully became over-addicted to the deer and neglected his spiritual advancement. This might seem to be contradictory. On one hand, it's said that he was overwhelmed by an uncontrollable desire. So it seems as if he had no choice in the matter. And on the other hand, it's stated that Maharaj Bharat purposefully became over-addicted to the deer. So what's going on here? Did he do it on purpose? Or was he overwhelmed? Well, both things are there. He was overwhelmed by an uncontrollable desire, but still he should have controlled it. Thinking, feeling, and willing. It should have been cut in the immediate stage. This uncontrollable desire that is discussed in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna raises the question. What's the question about uncontrollable desire? Chapter 3, towards the end. Anyone? What's the Sanskrit? What's the first word? Prayukto yam papam charati purushaha anichan api varshaya balamiva niyojita. Atakena prayukto yam. So, baladiva niyojita. One is engaged in sinful activities as if by force. Baladiva. He's saying as if by force. Not exactly that you are forced, but the word iva gives the sense of, it seems like that. I just couldn't control myself. But a transcendentalist is supposed to control himself. For a materialistic person who has no developed consciousness or knowledge, he's just like an animal. In the sense that he has very little control. He's on the manoratam. He's just carried here and there by the mind. He doesn't have any higher knowledge or higher purpose in life. And so just like an animal is attracted to the objects of the senses, so a human without higher knowledge is attracted to the objects of the senses and is forcefully carried around. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha. Gives you a good excuse to pinch the little kids when they fall asleep in class. But don't pinch kids, you'll be charged with child abuse. You have to be careful these days. Don't even look at them, you could be charged. Anyway, that's another subject. So someone who has no higher knowledge, they are just like an animal. But someone like Bharat Maharaj is supposed to know what is right and what is wrong. It may be that he's overwhelmed with uncontrolled. The waves of desire may come, but he's supposed to know to stop them in the beginning. Even at any point he could have stopped it by higher knowledge. Now it may be a very difficult situation. I mean, what do you do if you happen to be, not that any of us are doing that, but you can just imagine what it would be like to be in the position of Bharat Maharaj. You're in the forest. You went there for self-realization, you left everything, you're already in practically pure love of Krishna, thinking of Krishna all the time, and then you go to the river and a deer jumps over, being chased by a tiger, and the deer gives birth to the fawn which falls in the river. What do you do? Do you let the poor little baby drown in the river? Well, naturally you might want to pick it up. And then what will how will the poor little baby live? Then you have to help it to live. But the mother has to look after the child practically 24 hours a day. So then if you become the mother, then instead, surrogate mother, then instead of 24 hours a day thinking of Krishna, you become caught in 24 hours thinking of the deer, because unless you're alert, just like it's described, Bharat Maharaj was very careful that kept the deer, always had to watch the deer, so the deer didn't run away, because if deer runs in the forest, then animals like tigers and lions, they're very likely to attack the deer. So by his good deed of saving the deer, he lost Krishna consciousness. What do you do in such a situation? The whole purpose of life is to be Krishna conscious. He'd left everything. And wouldn't it be cruel just to abandon the deer? And to abandon the deer means practically it's going to die. Even if it's not eaten by animals in the beginning stages, it doesn't know how to get its own food. And naturally, maybe among all animals, the deer is maybe the most or very attractive. It's very, very beautiful. The description is often given in Shastra of doe-eyed. Doe means a female deer. So there are names like Mrigakshi, a name for Radha, means she has eyes like the eyes of an animal, which in its case Mriga specifically means a deer. So very beautiful eyes and very attractive features, more beautiful than a cow. I can say that on the strength of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada once asked the question, what is the most beautiful animal? And a devotee replied, the cow. And Prabhupada said, the cow is not beautiful, it's the horse. So, of course, the horses, the poor horses that we see pulling the carts in the, what's that called, the barat, those poor creatures, they're not so beautiful. But if you see thoroughbred horse, they have them in India also still, for racing horses. They may be very beautiful. Deer is also very beautiful, and by its nature is very timid. So it becomes just like a dependent, if it becomes dependent on a human, then it becomes like a dependent child. You see deer, they're generally very afraid of humans, especially this Nilgai is one kind of deer. And they're very, very, if you see them from the other side of the field, they'll run away. I've seen here in Gujarat, and in Gujarat no one kills deer. Maybe in Rajasthan or something, they'll go hunting, but here they don't do. They're very timid. Although some deer, some species, they can be very tame also. Once in America, in our farm in Gita Nagari, the deer there are so, they come out of the forest and they'll come and take prasad out of your hand, because they know the devotee, they trust the devotees like that. So deer is very nice to have as a pet, because it's so timid and takes shelter. And then you get in the maya of being, I am the shelter giver. That's also one kind of maya. Of course, for parents, they're supposed to do that. They have to look after their children. But they also should understand that ultimately they can't give shelter. As Prahlad said, what is that verse? Danny? Balasya neya sharanang pitaro nrsingha. Oh Nrsingha, the parents cannot, they can't actually give shelter. They have to take that responsibility of giving shelter, but ultimately they can't. Just like there must be so many parents in Iraq and Syria at the present time who want to shelter their children, but there's nothing they can do if a bomb just happens to fall on their apartment, if they're still living in an apartment. There are forces greater than them. They're unable to protect. They're unable to fulfill that function. So anyway, Bharat Maharaj became attracted to a deer. So what message do we get from this? That even though the deer was very affectionate to him, and he was very affectionate to the deer, and even though the deer had no other shelter, he should have abandoned the deer for the sake of Krishna consciousness. That's the implicit message here, that one's Krishna consciousness is more important than worldly relations, however noble they may be. This may seem to be very cruel, but it is the message here. How far does a devotee's social responsibility go? Or responsibility to others on the mundane platform, how far does that go? A devotee's not completely callous to the material needs of others. As we had a little discussion after the class yesterday, Srila Prabhupada instituted the ISKCON food relief program for refugees from Bangladesh in Mayapur. He instituted that program. There are so many people coming from Bangladesh. There's no arrangement. All of a sudden there are 10 million extra people with no food or clothing or shelter, and the government can't handle it all. So Prabhupada set this up, ISKCON food relief. But how far do you go? Should you then start building hospitals and schools for them, and then have cinemas and football pitches? And how far do you go? There's some compassion, some manifestation of social compassion should be there, but it should never be at the expense of one's own Krishna consciousness or that of others. Where exactly the line is drawn, that will have to be seen. Ultimately, one has to judge by the result. But the message is here of Bharat Maharaj that he was wrong, we can say. Just like, in one sense, we'll say. But just like someone, they run the mile in 4 minutes, and you don't say, well, he slipped. After 200 yards, he slipped. So, and you emphasize that. No, he completed the course, and this is for our instruction. But it may not be that everyone who slips gets up as well as did Bharat Maharaj, or is favored by the Supreme Lord, that in his next life as a deer, he remembered. It may not that someone may just slip and not get up very soon or very quickly. Whatever devotional service is done is never lost. Neha bhikraman ashasti pratyavayona vidyate svapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. If one performs even a little devotional service, that is one's eternal benefit. But yeah, that will save one from the greatest kind of fear. In one place, Srila Prabhupada says, this means that saves one from falling down into a lower species. Although in this case, Bharat Maharaj did. So generally, that was one will get at least a human birth. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, he said that if anyone in any species, human, dog, or whatever, if they take Krishna Prasad, they're guaranteed the next life as a human life. So devotional service is all auspicious, but if one falls away, he will take it up again. But it may take time. Bharat Maharaj was on a very high level, but he slipped. He was favored by Krishna to remember his previous life and what mistake he'd made. And then he picked up from there. And as Jarabharat, he remembered his previous two lives. But generally, everyone doesn't get that facility. Now, we may say, we're talking about a slip here, a very serious slip. But then, do we not all slip a lot of the time? Or maybe we don't slip much because we're not very far up. Just like Giriraj Maharaj, he said once when he was speaking with Srila Prabhupada, he was talking about how happy he feels in devotional service. And then he said, and Prabhupada was congratulating him, very good, very good. And then he said, but then sometimes I also feel like I'm in Maya. And Prabhupada said, you're always in Maya. So practically I can speak for myself. My situation is something like drowning under the water and sometimes come up and get a little air and then again. What is that? Kacha? What is that? How does that go? Kacha habu dubu bai. Mayar boshe, jacho beshe, kacha habu dubu bai. Radha Krishna bolo resho. That's the solution. What do we do? The often asked question. Oh, I should translate that. Yeah, we're in the ocean of Maya and kacha habu dubu means, trying to come up, sometimes you come up, get a little air, and then again go under, then again come up, and then go under. So our situation, it may not be so much as slipping down as trying to get up. We don't slip down much because we don't really get up very much. That might be a better description of our situation. But we should be very careful, especially of the, actually of everything. I was going to say the four gross sinful activities, but everything is, this whole material world is very dangerous. We talk about illicit sex being very dangerous, movies being very dangerous, association with materialistic people being very dangerous. What about a deer cub? That doesn't sound very dangerous. If Bharat Maharaj could fall down by a deer cub, then what to speak of all the gross sensual attraction all around us? So what is the solution? One solution is to keep good association. Always keep good association. There was no one there to say to Bharat Maharaj, you're getting in Maya. Better you chant Hare Krishna and let this deer be left to its fate. After all, in the forest there are so many deer which are being eaten by tigers and lions all the time. At that time it would have been like that. There'd have been many deer and many tigers and lions, and it would be just a normal thing. Why are you trying to save this one deer cub when there are already practically every day deer are being eaten by lions and tigers? So better you concentrate on your Krishna consciousness. There was no one there to say that to him. Of course, it was a process in a previous yuga that people would go away and meditate on their own in the forest. On their own means not completely on their own. We hear about the Rishi Kul, just like you have the Guru Kul. So the Rishi Kul means that the Rishis would have their huts, but they'd all be in the same area. And although most of the time they'd be alone, sometimes they'd come together. So they weren't completely alone. But especially in Kali Yuga, there is a saying, I don't know where it's from, but it's in Sanskrit, so it sounds authorized. Sange Shakti Kalo Yuga. In Kali Yuga, we get strength from association. In previous ages, people would go alone and practice yoga and all this. In Kali Yuga, we need association. Shadu Sangha Krishna Nam A Matro Chai Shongsha Jinite Ar Kono Vostunai. For conquering over Maya, for conquering over material existence, association of devotees and Krishna Nam. There's nothing else. Okay, I'll finish here because everyone's in various stages of recovering from yesterday's Ratha Yatra. Mostly in the deep stages. Need a joke from time to time to keep everyone awake. All right, Hare Krishna. As the great Brahmananda once said, somehow you should stay awake in class. I do it by giving the class. You have to find your own solution. Of course, we also see some devotees falling asleep while giving the class, but not so often. All right. Anyone wants to say anything now? Yes, please. Somehow Bharat Maharaj was?
Favored, special.
But he was favored by Krishna, yeah.
So, this mention of this place indicates that Krishna is to some extent partial to Bharat Maharaj.
Was Krishna partial to Bharat Maharaj? Yes. He says that in Bhagavad Gita. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho stinapriyaha. I'm completely neutral. I don't love anyone or hate anyone. And then exactly the next line, he says, Yeba janti tu maam bhakta maite teshu chapyaham. Oh, but by the way, my devotees, I'm partial to them. That's another very good lesson from this story, which I didn't mention, which you brought up, that Krishna will protect us. But this story is more of a warning not to take the protection for granted. That will come up in the next canto, the Ajamil story, where the protection of the Lord, that is very apparent in the Ajamil story. But here there's a warning, be careful. What was the first part? A devotee is freed from the actions of karma. Devotee understands that a person experiences reactions to his previous past karma. So, can we understand that if someone is very much inclined to social service, that he is ignorant of the laws of karma? Well, Srila Prabhupada indicated that in his reply that he sent via Tamal Krishna Goswami to the Andhra Pradesh Drought Relief Fund or whatever it was called, as is recalled in the, or that is there in the Science of Self-Realization. And several times actually Srila Prabhupada said, Why are people starving? As the Prabhupada said, it's a reaction to their sinful activities. God, Srila Prabhupada gave the example, that just like a physician, sometimes he tells a patient, you don't eat. That's not in modern medicine. Whatever disease you have, they'll tell you to eat. Go on eating. Maybe if you have vomiting, they won't tell you to eat. But in Ayurveda and many other systems of medicine, it's quite common to prescribe fasting or very limited intake of food. So Srila Prabhupada said like that. Some people, they need that. They need that reaction, which from the humanistic point of view might seem to be extremely cruel, but anyway, that's what Srila Prabhupada said, that God out of his kindness may restrict someone, or maybe a whole group of people. There are various points. Social welfare work, again, we see that in relationship to Krishna consciousness, it's Srila Prabhupada gave the example of blowing on a boil. It doesn't cure it. It hardly gives any relief. You have to incise it, which is very painful. But then, that's the only way to cure it. And if you just leave it, especially an abscess, an internal boil, it can turn into something very serious. You might have to then, say if you have an abscess on your arm and you don't cut it, then it may turn into gangrene and you may have to have the whole arm amputated. Yeah.
Similar kind of thing happens in Gurukula. We try to take care of children and they are not so many able to take care of them in so many other ways which are not directly Krishna consciousness.
In a Gurukul, you have to look after children in bodily way, mental way, emotional way, which are not directly Krishna conscious.
We also see in front of our eyes that sometimes some children do not want to become Krishna conscious.
Some children don't want to be Krishna conscious. You can. They should be left. Should they be left? Well, you probably know more than I do because you've researched all these things, but Srila Prabhupada, he said that boys can be, if children can be molded. And there was one boy, Vasu Ghosh knew him, he was about 15 years old. It was Kishori, one of her sons. And he was not at all interested in study. And Prabhupada said, send him to Hyderabad farm. Let him work on the farm. Let him do service there. There should be a solution for everyone. And that brings in Varnashram. Not everyone's going to be fully into Krishna consciousness. But there should be a society set up in such a way that everyone can live at various levels, Swakarmanatham abhyacha, and worship Krishna by their work. Of course, outside of Varnashram, there's the Antyaja, Chandals, and all this. There are some who they're just uncivilized and incorrigible. Of course, they can also be devotees, even if they're born in that situation. Chandalopi Dvija Srishta Hari Bhakti. Hari Bhakti Parayana. A chandala is greater than the best of the Brahmins if that so-called chandala is inclined to Hari Bhakti. Yeah, social welfare. We're not against social welfare, but there's social welfare in Krishna consciousness means setting up Varnashram societies. That's social welfare.
Similar
danger is there. Therefore, we have morning and evening classes and discuss all these things. Okay, we better finish there. No? All right. Oh, so many questions. Yeah, okay. Please speak loudly. Who's speaking? Please stand up so I can see who you are.
Ah. Like the example of Bharat Maharaj, who protected the deer, who was getting drowned. Similarly, for a devotee, we all are in Maya Sagar and everybody is getting drowned. So what is preferable for the self-advancement in the Krishna consciousness? How to protect the other people also?
Should we in this case just be interested in our own advancement or try to protect others also? Well, we're specifically enjoined in our Krishna consciousness in this age to cultivate Krishna consciousness by trying to bring others to Krishna consciousness. Jare deko tare koho Krishna upadesh. So both things go on side by side. But it must be specifically to bring people to Krishna consciousness. We have to be careful when preaching also. As Srila Prabhupada gave the example, when you go fishing, you shouldn't get pulled into the water by the fish. You don't go fishing, I know, but it's an example that Srila Prabhupada gave, quite apt for Bengal, where fishing is very much part of the culture, not the pure Vaishnavas, but everyone else. What is that? March dole pani chuyona, something like that. It's don't touch the water. March dhorte gale pani chue ona. Don't touch the water, don't get pulled in. So
one more point on Bharat Maharaj's story, that he's in such an advanced stage, and at that time when the deer delivering the baby and falling down, it appears like it's an arrangement of the Lord.
Is it an arrangement of the Lord that he is such an advanced level and he fell down? It can be seen like that, as in so many other cases. Vyasadeva becoming despondent. Why should he become despondent when he's the Bhagavad Avatar who's come to give all the knowledge? Why should he become despondent? Yudhishthira Maharaj becoming despondent, even though being instructed by Krishna, then he went to take instruction from Bhishma. So this is a very important point to understand, that the great devotees, we should not see their activities as material. We can see that there's some arrangement of the Lord is there. I'll finish now? Oh, all right, you won't let me. Okay. I'm blaming you. Yeah. Yeah, that I discussed yesterday. That the on the social level, to see that the people have enough food, that is the duty of the king. At the individual level, it's the duty of the parents, or within a certain caste, or in a village. If there's the village headman, he should see that everyone's maintained. He's a little kshatriya. Like that. So that was taken care of in Vedic society especially by the kshatriyas. They have to see that they have to maintain others. They also have to see that everyone's working, not that they're just lazy and doing nothing and getting fed for nothing. Hare Krishna. So what's our Gurukul boys program? You're leaving today for Nathdwara, is it? Or you'll be here some more time?
Leaving on Sunday.
Leaving on Sunday. Oh, you'll be here quite some time. Huh? You can take advantage, Damoda. You have so many things you can ask, especially Preeti Mashoi. You see, he must be there somewhere. Oh, there he is. Yeah. You can speak to him. He's so many years of experience in the Gurukul. Did you visit that Nandagram?
Somebody did.
Ah, yeah. You're coming here regularly, so please make a point to go there. I think the Gurukul's on holiday now, is it?
Now the holidays are over.
The holidays are over, but still some are traveling with you and me. Okay. Okay, so you speak and you please bring him the... And maybe... Oh, you're going back tomorrow. Dinabandhu Prabhu, you can also visit whenever you come. We have a farm, it's about 2.5 hours drive from here. Far away from any metropolis. Okay, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.